We're into the Good Shepherd lesson 2 in John 10. Let me read the first 10 verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, on two occasions, in this passage in John 10, our Lord spoke of thieves and robbers entering the sheepfold by other means than the door. This is definitely an indication that anyone who does this is indeed a thief and a robber, for only those entering through the door are approved to care for the sheep. You know, God has given us an under-shepherd, and one of his responsibilities is to care for the sheep. And the other responsibility, of course, predominant, is that he enters this congregation through the door of Christ. In other words, God puts over us an under-shepherd that is in Christ because he came through the door. Now, entering into the fold by other than the door reveals one who will always do harm to the sheep. In fact, Jesus said they are there to destroy the sheep. So he compares the true shepherd with those who came in falsely, by whom the shepherd here in John 10:8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. As on many other occasions, Jesus uses very strong language. Now, thieves and robbers, of course, you know, are motivated by self-interest. My, how we are motivated by self-interest. You know, the Bible teaches that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, we're created in Christ Jesus to serve others, not to serve ourselves. But thieves and robbers are motivated by self-interest. Now, the rabbis substituted tradition for truth, the Talmud for the Torah, the oral law for the inspired written law. Religions substitute the Word of God with their own wisdom of men. They're thieves and robbers because they take away the truth from the sheep. So in this, they use the sheep not for the benefit of the sheep, but for their own benefit. They entered the sheepfold intrusively. They snuck in. They entered clandestinely under the mask of religion, but the true sheep would not hear them. You know, true sheep will not hear false teachers. If you hear false teachers, it's an indication that you're not true sheep. The true sheep hear the shepherd's voice. This is what Jesus is saying. The true sheep hear the word of God. The true sheep know the shepherd's voice. They hear the word of God, but will not hear the voice of the false shepherds. The true sheep will hear the word of God, but will not hear the wisdom of men, which is the mark of false teachers. You know, there's so many wise in this world, but they're worldly wise, and they have something for you, but that's false teaching. It does not go according to the scriptures. And if you go through the scriptures, and you will often see severe denunciation of false teachers. You know, if you look at the words of Christ, you'll find the most severe denunciation was to false teachers, false prophets. John the Baptist minced no words. In Matthew 3:7, O generation of vipers, how'd you like to be called a snake? That's low. That's about as low as you can get. And John the Baptist didn't mince. He wasn't a positive preacher. John the Baptist didn't say, I've got soft words for you. I want to make you feel good. No, he faced the vipers and he said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Sinners in the hands of an angry God. Our Lord in Matthew 23:14 said, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. And then he said, Hypocrites. He put them in the land of hypocrites. For ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. And then in Matthew 23:24, ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. And in Matthew 23:33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? And then the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. False teachers, false shepherds that climbed into the sheepfold, not through the door. They refused to come through Christ. They came on their own, spreading false doctrine. And the Apostle Paul in 2 Peter 2:17, these are wells without water. Oh, you go to the well, you want some refreshing water, you dip your dipper into the well, and there's no water. You condemn the well. No water. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. And of course, in Jude 1:12, these are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Same message that we just read in by Jonathan Edwards. So these verses, how the Lord speaks to the false teacher ought to tell us how God feels about those who teach falsely and therefore lead many astray. Oh, how important it is for teachers like myself and our pastor and our Sunday school teachers and those that stand before you, how important it is not to teach false doctrine. Not to teach the ideas of men, but to teach the Scriptures. What does the Scripture say? Now, there is a time to be angry and sin not. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. You know, we're not to always have a positive... I get a kick out of all these positive preachers. There's one out in Texas that is preaching this morning to 20, 30,000 people. And here I am preaching to a couple of dozen. What's the difference? Now, I don't know if the man is a false preacher, but he has a great congregation. He has to be careful. He is responsible and accountable to God, and I am responsible and accountable to God. Our pastor is also. We have great responsibility to teach the truth. Now, Jesus had already said in verse 7, the astounding claim which only deity could make, that he is the door of the sheep. He said, I am the door of the sheep. Now, who could make that claim but deity? And he made the claim. And again in verse 9, he repeats that claim and with it attaches a salvation result. There's salvation in Jesus Christ, who is the door. For in John 10:9, he says, I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So here in verse 9, he says that he is the door that brings to man salvation, both Jew and Gentile. Now, he doesn't say there's a lot of doors in this sheepfold. He says there's one door. And then he says that he is the door. He is the door into the presence of God. How do you get to God? You get to God through the door. And who is the door? Jesus Christ. By nature, we are separated from God by a wall of sin. You know, if you could see yourself as God sees you, you are in a wall of sin. You are entrapped in this wall. It is a barrier that no man can breach. It is too high. It is too thick. There's no doors in it. You're trapped in this wall. We are trapped behind this barrier of sin, and we are without any ability to free ourselves from this barrier. That's what's pictured here. We try to climb the wall by our own strength, or by our own intellect. We ought to be able to figure out how to climb this wall, how to get out of this barrier. We should have, our great knowledge should help us to get out of this wall, but the wall bars us forever from God. There's no man-made door through this barrier wall of sin. Man tries every possible way to find God, but God cannot be found in this barrier of sin. Now, this is the dilemma. How is it solved? Well, God has to reveal himself to you. No man cometh unto the Father lest he draw him. God has to reveal himself to you, and he does it by only one door. And there is no hope without this door. Now, God is the only one who is able to provide a door, and that door, we are told here in John 10:9, is Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ is absolute. He thinks in absolute. He expresses in absolutes. There's no wiggle room in Jesus Christ. He is not a door. He is the door. He placed himself in that wall of sin by taking on the sins of the world. By placing himself in that wall, he breached it and became the door by which his sheep can enter into the presence of God and go in and out and find pasture. What a wonderful Savior we have to make a door in that barrier of sin by taking on the sins of man. Now, Jesus Christ is not a locked door. Jesus Christ is not a long, dreary passageway of many steps. He is not a hallway, but he is simply an open door that can be traversed by one step, and it's called a step of faith. He tells that he is the door by which if any man enter in, he shall be saved. But he also tells us that there is liberty in him. Our pastor has been speaking on liberty. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. We're free indeed. We stand fast in the liberty. Why? We may come in and go out and find pasture. We now have access to the green grass. We have access to the still waters. And we have the ability to walk on the paths of righteousness. He talked about how free we are to walk on the paths of righteousness. When you were surrounded by the barrier of sin, you had no freedom to walk in the paths of righteousness. But when you're in Christ, you have the freedom to walk on the paths of righteousness. You can do right in Christ. Now, the door is the entrance of a dwelling place for those who are called by the shepherd. Within the door, those who are called will find their portion. You know, my portion is in Christ. No greater portion than your portion in Christ. They will find that of which they are most needful, for the shepherd knows their needs completely. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. My, how we want stuff. Don't we want stuff? Oh, I want that. That's the new gadget. I want that. Well, our shepherd, there's no want when the Lord is our shepherd. He provides all of our needs. They will find out that of which they are most needful, for the shepherd knows their needs completely. Now note also the careful words of Jesus in saying that those who enter in by me. No man enters in by their own power, but those that enter in enter only by the grace of God. You can't break through this barrier of sin. You have to go through Christ. Without Christ, we can do nothing. And that includes entering the fold of God. So Christ empowers His own to come in. It is all of grace and none of us, even to the entering in. But in contrast to Jesus Christ as the door, the thief is not interested in the welfare of the sheep. You know, the world wants you to believe that all your needs will be met in the world. But the world is not interested in your welfare. The corporations are not interested in your welfare. The religions are not interested in your welfare, for they have no answer to the eternal needs of your soul. But Jesus Christ is always interested in your welfare, but He also records His words in John 10:10 about those who are not. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Christ is the answer to our soul's needs. The thief is only interested in stealing, killing, and destroying. He is involved in deceit and violence. Now, Ezekiel knew about these self-serving shepherds when he wrote in Ezekiel 34, 1 through 9, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves." That's why they're there, to feed themselves. "Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them, and they were scattered, because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every hill, high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not the flock." That's the world. That's the world. Self-interest. Self-centered. And Zechariah tells of the leader of the false shepherds, the idol shepherd, that we find in Zechariah 11, 16, and 17. "For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened." Now, he's speaking here of the false shepherd to come. This idle shepherd is the Antichrist who comes into the fold, not by the door, but comes over the wall, bent on destroying the sheep. So Jesus emphasizes the difference between himself and the thieves and the robbers who take from the sheep. Jesus takes nothing, and he brings life. The thief takes everything and he brings death. The thief's motives are totally malicious. The good shepherd desires the well-being of the sheep. The good shepherd always desires that they have plenty of pasture. And the good shepherd always desires to bring them beside the cool, still waters. For he says in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. Now when the Jews heard this, they knew of the scriptures of the Old Testament. They knew about the idol shepherd. They knew about the thieves and the robbers shepherd. And Jesus Christ now declares himself to be the good shepherd. And he says this, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So in contrast to the false shepherd, Jesus presents himself as the good shepherd, the only shepherd that truly cares for the sheep, the only shepherd that is worthy, the only excellent shepherd, the only shepherd that will give his life for the sheep. Ezekiel also knew about the good shepherd when he said in Ezekiel 34, various verses in that chapter, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. So by saying that he is the good shepherd, he is affirming to the Pharisees, the false teachers, that he is deity. Now they knew David's 23rd Psalm. They knew Ezekiel. They knew Isaiah. And here Jesus Christ identifies himself with Jehovah. He here identifies himself with the redemption of the sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep. That's the mark of the true shepherd. This is one of the scriptures which clearly identifies the atonement. The good shepherd was not a martyr for a cause or a truth or as a moral example of self-sacrifice. He would give his life for a people. He would give his life so that they might have life. Had he not been willing to lay down his life for the sheep, there would have been no hope for them. So Jesus Christ declares without a doubt that he is the Son of God, that he is the Good Shepherd. And then in verse 10, chapter 10, 12, and 13, which we'll get to next week, he says, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. So again, a contrast with those that are in it for themselves, compared to the true shepherd, the shepherd who loves his sheep, the shepherd who is a shepherd that the sheep can do nothing for. You know, the sheep don't do a thing for the shepherd, do they? But all that which is done for the sheep comes from the shepherd, the caring shepherd, the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Father, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Father, He is the only door. He is the true shepherd. And Father, we lay before His feet our lives to be given in service. And Lord, help us to do that. Help us to be servants of Christ and to do Your will in this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.